Blog Talk Radio.
And there's very far from thee to do after that manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked.
Yahweh.
Our favorite teacher, thus saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, he that made the same mistake again, he called it insanity. Show me a man without adversity, I show you a man without character. Send his messenger, it was all to prepare us for disaster. Time is moving faster when the remnant makes it home, they'll be all living lavish. If he won't treat you right, won't teach you right. Serve Yahweh with all your soul and all your might. It'll make a brass monkey cry. True for tradition, to be the hearts of the fathers. Back to the children, there is no other God beside my maker name. Yahweh, a host, and there is no Holy Ghost. And supposing you thought he came to bring peace on this earth, he said no. Old man for counsel and young man for woe. For show to the late great prophet who taught us the knowledge of Yahweh. Therefore, I pay homage, giving glory to the Holy One, the King of the Kings, the strength of Israel. One day he redeemed.
All are my strength and length of days. Remember the laws of his servant Moshe. To the laws and testimony. For they don't they be faith and faith.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Elisha Israel, with the house of Israel, bring you truth or traditions. Last week, I spoke on Katrina and what's happening with our people. Well, you know, since I did that all week long, they came on radio and TV and brought out the fact it was the government's fault. As I said, the investigators who they assigned to investigate that, who were mainly Republicans, committee said that the president on down to the local mayor was responsible for the atrocities that occurred. Just as I said, a lot of our people were upset and angry that I brought out the fact that the government allowed these things to be done. But now the government is admitting that it did so. And right now we have the government asking Congress for another $70 billion to be appropriated to be sent to Iraq to help the people out in that civil war. At the same time, they just set out 12,000 men, women, and children out of the various shelters they were living at, and now they're homeless. But they're sending billions and billions of dollars overseas something ain't right about that picture, is it? The problem that is, the Creator said all that have found our people have spoiled them. And the Creator said, because we rejected him and refused to keep his commandments, that these things would befall our people and overtake them because of our disobedience to him. Now, a lot of people say, well, what laws are we to keep? The first law we're going to teach on today is the first law of the Ten Commandments, the very first law. And we can find that in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. This is the first law, and this is the most important law, because if one does not understand and comprehend the significance of this law, then all the other laws that they're attempting to do would be in vain. As it's like you not understanding who your wife is, and you're giving all kind of presents and rewards to prostitutes and whores in the street. You might have meant well, but if you didn't give it to the right party, the party that was entitled to it, the party that's supposed to receive it, then all the money that you spent and all the gifts that you bought was in vain, because they didn't increase your wealth and it didn't increase your standards in your household. So it was truly in vain. Like so with the laws of the Most High. Regardless how a person attempts to be right, if they're worshiping Satan and think they're worshiping the Most High, then all the glory that they're giving to Satan is of no consequence. The scripture said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I know it seems right to a lot of our people to worship someone else other than the true and living Elohim. It seems right to worship a woman they say is his daughter, and you end up worshiping the Queen of Heaven, or worshiping a man that they claim is his son, and you end up worshiping a foreign deity whose name was Zeus, that they put a spin to it and added a J and took away the Z, and you have what you have now. It is of no consequence if you're doing the wrong thing. I know a lot of our people are sincere, but the road to hell is paved with people that were sincere, but they were sincerely wrong. And you don't get credit for that. So let's go into the book that the Creator calls the Scriptures of Truth, the Old Testament, the Torah, that some people might call the Tanakh. And let's investigate the words of the true and living Elohim. If we go to the book of Exodus, this is where we're going to start teaching from the laws today. We're going to teach about the Ten Commandments. But what are the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments are different than all the laws from every religion on this earth. The Ten Commandments are the only set of laws that was given personally by the Most High himself to Moshe, or Moses, his servant. And at that time, of course, there was no printing press, so we didn't have no booklets. We didn't have no paper to print things on. That didn't come about until years and centuries later. So how did the Almighty reserve his word? He took his incredible hand and took his majestic fingers and took a tablet of stone and wrote his commandments on a tablet of stone with his own divine hand and preserved it. And now that stone is in an ark that is called the Ark of the Covenant, an ark that carries around the words of the true and living Elohim. Tradition teaches that these words were so holy and so revered that anybody that was unrighteous that came in the presence of this ark would be totally eradicated. That's what tradition teaches. It teaches that the ark now is in Ethiopia, being guarded by some of the most devout and most holy men in that place. Because anybody else with any blemish or any unrighteousness within them could not even stand in the presence of that ark. Of course, again, this is what tradition teach. But we don't teach tradition. We teach the truth. And the truth is that ark, wherever it might be, and I personally don't know, are the words of the true and living Elohim. No other manuscript in the history of the world was so preserved as it was. When the New Testament came around, there is no authenticity of the New Testament. There is no authenticity. There's no history where they say this is the first New Testament that was written. They can't find none. It don't exist. When the Quran came around, there was no printing either in that time that it's supposed to have been written in the 700s. According to the various stories, it was delivered by an angel to the Prophet Muhammad while he was in a cave. The same angel that's supposed to appear to Joseph, the angel Gabriel, and that the writings were supposed to be on little leaves or barks of trees or parchments. But it was no great significance. It was not as if this is something very precious and very honorable that it should be totally distinct from all of the writings that were historically written. Not so. Right now, the oldest Quran that they found, they say it was from the 9th century. It had been changed and written. It might have been in different authors until it was finally collected by one source, and all the different ones were destroyed and only one preserved, and that's supposed to be the one that they have in the 9th century. But it does not stand out. And that's not the writings of Gabriel. That's just a copy that was brought down. But the laws of Yah were so unique and so great that it is the only laws delivered by the Most High himself, according to all religious books, and preserved on the tablet of stone, given to him directly from the Most High to his servant, Moses, who is revered and honored in all the religious books that we have today, the big religious books, mainly the New Testament and the Quran. What is the first commandment? The first commandment that Yah spoke is in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. We will read the first three verses.
And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah, the Elohim, which I brought thee out of the land of Egypt.
Notice the Almighty clearly states who he is. Notice he didn't say, I am the voice. As you notice, Most High never spoke in the New Testament. But many of the disciples of the New Testament will quote a couple of verses where it says, A voice said, "This is my beloved son." For the Most High was never identified as a voice. He never told nobody to go and tell the people what thus said the voice. But here you read, "And Elohim spoke all these words." These are the words of the true and living Elohim. "I am Yahweh, the Elohim, which brought thee out of the land of Mizraim and out of a house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohim before me." Well, those words alone stand out to those that have eyes and can see, and ears and can hear, and a heart that can perceive. These words stand out and let us know that whoever this Elohim is, he differentiates himself from all the other deities of the land and tells our people, "I am the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt." Of course, JC, who our people worship today, has never said that "I am the God that brought you up out of the land of Egypt and brought your parents out of the house of bondage." Never did he say that, because he knew that that was not true. But according to the Most High, he totally differentiates himself from all the other deities and lets you know exactly who he is through his majestic work, that he's the one that is the liberator. He is the one that can free a people. He is the one that brought our people out of the house of bondage. And he said, "Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me." Now, who said this? Well, the Christians teach that this is a God that's a Trinity, three in one, a Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And those three are all the same. That's what Christians will tell you. But the Most High told his people to let the world know that he is not a three in one, neither is he a dual, but he is one. Notice what the Most High told our people to tell the world. We go to the book of Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. Let's hold this. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. And let's see what the Creator says about who he is. According to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, we're going to read the fourth verse.
"Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim is one Yah."
Notice, in Hebrew or Greek, he would say, "Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad," which is to say, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim, Yahweh is one." So the Creator said those that teach he's a Trinity are lying. The Trinity comes from the concept of three in one. And incidentally, the word Trinity is not mentioned in the Holy Scriptures. The word Trinity is not even mentioned in the New Testament. The Trinity doctrine is not even taught in the New Testament, that there's three heads that make one. That's not even taught, believe it or not. The Trinity comes from the doctrine of triunity. Have to be three equal. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and they are all three separate and equal. Well, the Christ in the New Testament let you know that the Trinity doctrine is a lie. The Christ of the New Testament let those people know who claim they are serving him know that that is a lie. The Christ of the New Testament said in the book of St. John, the 14th chapter. Notice what the 28th verse is saying.
Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I.
Well, right here, I don't go by the New Testament, let it be known. I don't recognize the authenticity of it because I know who wrote the book. I know where it came from. But I'm reading this for those who claim they are following Christ. Here, the Christ lets you know there's no such thing as a Trinity. He says, my Father is greater than I. Well, if the Father is greater, then it can't be a Trinity or a triunity, because it has to be three equal to be a triunity. And it can't be equal if he states that my Father is greater than I. This destroys the whole premise of the Trinity. And he also destroyed by letting you know that he is not to be worshipped. And according to the doctrine of the Trinity, you worship the Father, you worship the Son, and you worship the Holy Ghost, because all they really are one. But the Christ in the New Testament states that this is a lie as well. And he told all of the people that the true worshipers would only worship the Father. And we can find that in the book of, again, John, the 4th chapter, the 22nd and 23rd verse. He lets all of the people know that if they are worshiping him, they are false worshipers. They are false people, and they are not really worshiping him. He says in the 4th chapter, the 22nd verse,
ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews.
In other words, the people that worship a Trinity, the people that worship JC, the people that worship Christianity, he tells those people, you worship, you know not what. You don't know what you're doing, mister. He said, but we know what we worship. For salvation is of Yehudadin. Or in your Bible, salvation is to the Jews. Now, if the salvation is to the Jews, and the Jews know what they're worshiping, then you better go to the true Jews and find out what's really happening. Because the Christ of the New Testament verifies the fact that you don't know what's happening, and you don't know what you're worshiping. And if you are indeed worshiping him, you are a false worshiper. He goes on to say,
but the hour cometh.
But the hour cometh.
And now is.
And now is when the true worshipers. And he's talking about the Israelites, Yehudadin. The true worshipers shall worship the Father. And that's who the true worshipers do worship. The true Israelites do worship Father Yahweh, in him only. Only our Abba Yahweh, or our Father Yahweh, do we worship. And here he states, the man that you're worshiping, the man that you made a deity out of, the man that you idolize, states, for the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
For the Father seeketh such to
notice
worship.
In spirit and truth. So it is of a certainty, it is a truth that we're worshiping the true Elohim. And we're worshiping him in truth because we know who we are worshiping. You don't. You think you're worshiping the Son. You think you're worshiping a man that had the title Christ. You think you're worshiping part of the Trinity. And you think you're worshiping the Father through someone else. But the Christ of the New Testament, the one you claim you're worshiping, says that that's all a lie. Read the 23rd verse again.
But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
This is who the Father is seeking. The people that know him. The people that know salvation. The people of the book. They are the true worshipers, and the true worshipers shall worship him, Yahweh, our Elohim, the creator of the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all that therein is. The Elohim that brought our people out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. The same Elohim that said, thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. The same one. Right now, some of the Christians are mystified. They were saying, well, if what you're saying is true, then who is that he's talking to in the book of Eden, in the book of Genesis? Who is that he's talking to when he said, let us make man? Well, we're going to read that for you. And we're going to read what's in it and what's not in it. If you go to Genesis, the first chapter, the one that our people have been brainwashed with, hoodwinked with, and we go to the first chapter and read the 26th verse, notice what the 26th verse is saying. Now, this is where a lot of ministers thought they had a big deal. They thought they had a point. They thought this scripture gave them the reasoning to justify them worshiping someone else. They told you, go and ask the Jews, go and ask the Israelites, go and ask Elisha and them, who was this when he said, let us make man? No time did he say, worship us. No time did he say, worship anyone but him. Well, we're going to show you who us is if we start reading.
And Elohim said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Yes, let us make man in our own image, and after our likeness. They say, who is this? Who is this us that he's speaking to? Who is this us that he's pertaining to? Well, if you look at the 27th verse, you're going to read something the ministers don't like you to read. For it said, so Elohim created man in his image, not so they created man in their image. Not so Elohim created man in their image, but Elohim created man in his own image. In their own image, and in the likeness of Elohim created he him, male and female created he them, and Elohim blessed them. And Elohim said, so you see the 26th verse, the Almighty is speaking to someone else. But he lets us know beyond a shadow of a doubt that even though he made a suggestion to another party that he and he alone did make man in his own image and after his own likeness. And that he alone blessed them. He alone. And you might say, well, who were they, Elisha? The Creator is speaking of his angelic host. He's speaking of who you know today as his angels, his spiritual sons, who was made before man. And man were made in their image because the Most High made the angels in his image. So they were all made in the image of Elohim and after his own likeness. But the most important point here is that we ascertain that the Almighty made man alone, not with the help or aid of us or we or anyone else. Notice Isaiah, the 44th chapter. Because it's very, very important that our people understand the significance of a one Elohim and why the Most High said he's one. This is the most important law in the Torah, the most important concept for our people to understand is that Yahweh, our Elohim, is one. And right here, he's so jealous that he wants to magnify the position, letting you know that he's one and one alone. According to Isaiah 44, 24th verse, it reads,
Thus saith Yah, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb.
Said he that formed thee from the womb.
I am Yah that maketh all things.
Notice the personal pronoun. I am Yahweh that maketh all things. You know what that? You know the impact of what the Almighty saying when he said, I am Yahweh that maketh all things? No time in the New Testament did J.C. say he was Yahweh. All he said is Yahweh is greater than him. He called Yahweh his father. He called Yahweh his God, his deity. He prayed to my Elohim. He prayed to my Savior. He called out to my Savior. Even though it's not recorded whether the Most High ever answered him a mumbling word, he prayed to the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, for he prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and him alone. And he never taught anyone to pray to him. When they asked the Christ of the New Testament, how do we pray? He said, this is the manner that ye shall pray. Our Father. Now ask the people, who is our? Because when he uses the term our, he's speaking of himself as well as others. Our Father, which art is in heaven, hallowed be his name, not hallowed be my name. His kingdom come, his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We're right here. The Christ of the New Testament is crying out to those that have eyes and can see and ears and can hear that he is not the one to be worshipped. He is not the one that we should bow to. He's not the one that we should serve. But we should serve Yahweh and him alone. And here the Creator says, I am Yahweh that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Then he comes right back in the 45th chapter of Isaiah, and we're going to read the 5th to the 7th verse. To instill this oneness in you,
I am Yah, and there is none else.
There is none else. Now, what does that do about the man that's supposed to be on his right hand and the one on his left hand and his Trinity? Well, the Creator lets you know that he is Yahweh, and there is none else.
There is no Elohim besides me.
He say, there's no other Elohim besides me. So if you're looking for a JC that you're supposed to pray to get to me, that you're supposed to sing and make a joyful noise to him in order to please me, the Creator said all of this lies and deceit.
I girdled thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun.
That they may know from the rising of the sun.
And from the west.
From the west.
That there is none besides me.
There is none besides me, says Yahweh.
I am Yah, and there is none else.
He's being redundant, isn't he? Why is the Creator being so redundant? He's trying to drive the point home that there is no one else that we should ever worship besides him.
I form the light and create darkness.
Even right here, he eliminates the devil worshipers. He eliminates the people that want to worship Satan. He said, I'm the one who created Satan. I'm the one who created evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things. So we don't have nothing in our book about there's two great forces fighting the devil and Satan, and Satan is withstanding the Most High. Let me tell you something. If the Almighty was to make war against Satan, that war wouldn't last a fraction of a second before it would be completely over. And Satan would be completely, utterly annihilated if there was a war. But the Creator informs us that I form the light and I create darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things, so no one has any reason to worship anything or anyone other than the Most High. And then the Creator reassures us that he's one and his name is one. If we go to the book of Psalms 83, Psalms 83. Look what the Most High says about who he is. Psalms 83. And I want you to read the 8. We're going to let them read the 17 and 18 verse. New Testament says, God is not the author of confusion. Well, I'm here to tell you something you never heard before. Yahweh is the author of all things. It is he that confounds the wise men and their musicians. It is he that confounds the tokens. And it is he that has confounded the people that read the New Testament. That's how many. That's why you have so many different denominations that come out of the New Testament. Now, if he wasn't the author of confusion, you certainly wouldn't have a New Testament, would you? Now, that's certainly in a state of confusion, where you have the Baptists and Methodists and Unitarians and Episcopalians and the Jehovah Witness and Seventh-day Adventists and the Pentecostals and the Hebrew Pentecostals and the Holiness and the Apostolic, and this, that, and the other. They got over seven, they got over two different thousands of denominations that get their origin out of the New Testament, and then that book got the nerve to say God is not the author of confusion. Well, that's beautiful, because it lets us know that if he's not, then certainly he's not the author of the New Testament. But here the Creator says, let them be confounded and trouble forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Yahweh, are the Most High over all the earth, over the entire earth. His name alone is Yahweh. So there's nowhere in the New Testament that J.C. says he's Yahweh. Nowhere in the New Testament is J.C. called Yahweh. Nowhere. But the Almighty reassures us that he, in his name alone, is Yahweh, and he's the Most High over the whole earth. Now, turning back to Isaiah the 48th chapter. Going back there for a moment, Isaiah, the 48th chapter. Before we go to 48, there's another verse I wanted to read in the 45th chapter. Notice what the Creator is telling our people in the 12th verse.
I have made the earth and created man upon it.
The Creator said, not we have made the earth, but I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Then he says in verse 22, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am Elohim, and there what?
Is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in Yahweh have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In Yah shall all the seed of Israel be justified.
All right, and I want all the kings of the earth into these low-down little disc jockeys know that Yahweh said, and that's the God of the one you call Christ, that Yahweh said, and Yahweh shall all the seed of Israel shall be justified and shall glory, all of them. Now, you can't find that about Christianity. Now, the truth of the matter is, Christ never said a mumbling word about a Christian. Christ in the New Testament never said there would be people called Christians. The Christ of the New Testament had no disciples whom he named Christians. All the disciples of Christ, he had 12 disciples, 11 black Israelites, and one black Canaanite, according to Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 1st to the 6th verse. And he told them to only go to Israelites, so we don't know where the Christianity came in. And if you know, want to know, the people were first called Christians at Antioch by people that despised them, by people that hated them, by people that abhorred them. That's who they were named Christians by. The Most High never allowed his enemies to name his people, except when he rejected them. But when he returned them, he gave them back a righteous name. Not so with the others. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies, I want you to know this day that our Elohim is complete. He's whole, he's full, he's total, and he doesn't need anyone else to help him. He is totally complete. He created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is alone, and there was no strange Elohim with him. He brought Israel out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage all by himself, and said there was no strange Elohims with him. See, we have an Elohim that is complete, totally, and don't need no one else. Not so with the New Testament. According to the New Testament, there's three. And then according to the New Testament, the one that had all the power was J.C. So you got to worship Yahweh and J.C. according to the New Testament. Not according to Christ, but according to the New Testament. But according to the words of Christ himself, he said, if you want to worship me, you got to worship Peter too. He said, if you want to get to my kingdom, you got to come through someone else other than me. I know the Christians don't like me to bring that up. They don't like me to point that out, but I'm forced to today in teaching of the wonders of Elohim. According to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Notice what it says, starting at the 15th verse. It's supposed to be a little conversation. And we start in the 13th verse. It said, when J.C. came into the coast of Caesar of Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Notice he didn't say, I, the Son of Elohim. He said, who do the people claim that I, the Son of Man, am? Not I, Yahweh, am. Not I, your creator, but I, the Son of Man. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to inform you that Yahweh is not, I repeat, he is not the son of any man. But the Christ in the New Testament says repeatedly, over 88 times in the New Testament, that he is the son of a man. And that man is Joseph. But we'll get into that a little later. But he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art
John the Baptist.
Some people say you're John the Baptist.
Some Elias.
Some people say you're Elijah Christ.
And others, Jeremiah.
Some of them say that you're probably the reincarnation of Jeremiah the prophet. Or one of the other prophets.
He saith unto them.
But J.C. said unto them.
But whom say ye that I am?
But whom do you that's been walking and talking and eating and sleeping and traveling with me, lo, these 3 years, whom do you say that I am?
And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Notice he didn't say that thou art Yahweh, the Creator. He said, I believe you are Christ, the Son of the true and living Elohim.
And J.C. answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, Bar-Yonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Right now we're going to stop for a station break. We're going to stop for news, but we're coming right back to this dynamite lesson and teach you the words of the true and living Elohim. And if anybody want to call in and join us, our phone number is area 513-749-1230. That's area code 513-749-1230. Call in and we want all of your comments on this extremely vitally and important subject. We'll be right back after news. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Right now, before we start our next part of the broadcast, we're going to bring you a word from one of our beautiful sponsors.
Sleepless nights, being covered with bed bug bites. When you lay down to sleep in your bed, they will creep, waking you up tired and weak. Fight back.
call Witherson Pest Control, who will give you relief. Eggs they lay will make you say, I didn't sleep at all last night. Bed bugs have made a biting comeback. Don't feel there's no relief from these little blood feeders. They will hide in any and every crack and crevice. No dwelling is safe from their infestation. Remember, sleep tight and don't let those bed bugs bite. Call Witherson Pest Control, 513-761-4900. Witherson Pest Control Company, 223 North Wayne Avenue, Laughlin, Cincinnati, Ohio, 513-761-4900.
Shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Alicia Israel, bringing you truth or tradition. Today, this night, we're speaking on the laws of the Most High, and we're going to teach the Ten Commandments. First of all, we started with the very first commandment. The very first commandment is, I am Yahweh, the Elohim, out of the land of Egypt, that brought you out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. We're dealing with that law today. So if anybody wants to join in and talk about the wonders of the Most High's laws, call us at 749-1230. And if that's not enough, we're going to have an open house and let you talk about what you want to talk about. Maybe that's not relevant to you tonight, and you might have a question that you would like us to deal with in the future, and we can discuss that as well. But right now we're going to go one of my beautiful brothers on the board, the Black Lion, and speak to him. Right now we're going directly to the Black Lion.
Greetings, Elder. Greetings. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Praise Yah. How you doing today?
Praise the mighty Yah. I'm doing great.
All right, it's a beautiful show. Beautiful.
Thank you.
I wanted to make a couple comments on your discussion. I like to start by saying that us Africans in America,
mm-hmm.
our first example should be that if the Caucasian, if the AKA white man is doing it, it got to be wrong. If he's serving Christ, you know it's wrong. So, I mean, we've been here a long time, and we should see that clue. And
well, you're right. The Most High said, learn not the ways of the heathen. And the same man that enslaved us, the same man that took away our name and took away our language and took away our culture and took away all of our national identity, if this same man introduced us to Christ, we should know something wrong with it. We should know, isn't this the same band that introduced us to crack, heroin?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is this the same man that introduced us to all the vile drugs that our people are using today?
Mm-hmm.
And then the same one that introduced us to all those weapons of mass destruction, and
mm-hmm.
Coke 45s and AK-47s and all the heroin and crack. He's the same one that introduced us to J.C.
Exactly. It's the same man, the same one. And I'd like to also point out where many Christians do say where the so-called New Testament says, then a voice said, this is my beloved son who I am well pleased, who say that, well, this is the Creator talking,
mm-hmm.
and they can't prove it. In my opinion, that's blasphemy,
mm-hmm.
which their so-called Messiah, J.C., says the only unforgivable sin.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot be forgiven,
mm-hmm.
so says J.C.
Mm-hmm.
But blasphemy is a high sin, though. It's up there. It's right up there with whoredom and idolatry and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's peculiar that they could see or say that this is the Creator speaking, and nowhere does it indicate that this is the Creator speaking. That's
you're
puzzling.
Right. When the Almighty gave Satan the authority to write his own book, he did not allow him to use his name in a book.
Most definitely.
So when the devil wanted to use subtlety on our people, he just put a couple places, about three places in the New Testament, he got the voice said, and he allowed our people to assume that that's the Creator talking. But Christ in the New Testament even says that nobody has ever heard God's voice at any time. to the Almighty in his infinite wisdom to confound all the people that hate him, even to let them in their own book. He gave us the understanding to understand their own book, to bring out to them that according to their own book, Christ said that the Most High never spoke.
Exactly.
According to their own book, Christ said nobody has ever seen God. So that proves that he's not the Most High, because they've seen him. They used to change his diaper, spank his little tail.
Exactly.
And you understand? But they go, our people, oh, that's God.
Oh,
you're right, my brother.
Well, it goes to show that the doctrine of this Caucasian has such a grasp on us as a people that some of us find it very difficult to break free from. But, you know, y'all be willing. You know, you can and you will break free, you know, only if you consider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always tell my brother and sister, don't believe me, believe yourself. You can see for yourself. You ain't got to believe what Lion says, believe what you say.
Yes.
Is that the Creator speaking?
There you go.
I saw one Christian that the Creator walked and talked with Abraham. Abraham washed his feet and fed him, had barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to tell me, well, that's not the Creator. I say, well, look, it says it here, right in capital letters. Look.
Yes. Yes.
Who is it? So I guess, you know, the heathen, this pink man, and taught them what they want them to know, and they continue to accept and believe it, but, you know, break free.
Now, Creator said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Because they reject it. Because they reject it, Elder. It's there in abundance.
Yes.
In abundance, it is there, but because you reject the knowledge, you suffer. And
yes,
sir. We are truly suffering.
Oh, yes, greatly, like no other people on the face of this earth has been suffering.
Yeah, yes, and a couple shows back, I tried to call in, but you didn't have enough time, and I believe it was a Caucasian woman who called you, and she was having an issue with you having discrepancy with what Paul says. And you was going to the book of the children, to the law, and to show her where Paul was in contradiction with the Creator. So, she wouldn't allow you to do this.
Oh, no. She was afraid of the truth.
Exactly.
But she even admitted herself that she had problems with some of the things she said, but the preachers tell her that it don't mean that.
Yes, exactly.
And
exactly.
She was so afraid of the truth that I could show her that she was right in her observation that the Pauline New Testament does contradict the words of Christ.
Most definitely. And
love the New Testament.
Exactly. And if you want to see if he's in the contradiction of the Creator's word, you will have to go to the book of the children, the book of the law, to use it as a barometer to dictate whether he's in accordance with it or he's in opposition of it. And I found that puzzling, you know. But once again, that's that Christ mass tactic, where you only see what we tell you to see.
Oh, yes.
Okay, Elder, I'm going to let you go and let somebody else get
all
in.
All right. It's a great blessing hearing from you, Black Lion.
Most definitely,
Elder. Listen, audience, Grant, we're glad to hear from you, too.
All right, peace and shalom, Maureen.
Thank you, and shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Yes, tonight we're discussing the law. Do we have to obey the law? And if so, are we under the law that Yah said he's one Elohim and never to serve no one else but him? And the Creator said he's a jealous Elohim, even a consuming fire. He's so jealous. And I left off letting our people know that in the New Testament, the Christ had someone else that he even appointed for our people to go to. And this is very odd with the Most High, because he never told our people to go through anyone but him. And he said, I'm the only Elohim, the only judge, the only savior of the entire earth. But notice what it says in the New Testament. The New Testament. And we asked in our listeners to hold on a minute. We're going to change the tape. We're going to come right. All right. We left. very, very important.
And Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And JC answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
In other words, letting you know that he's not the Father, but his Father in heaven revealed these things to him. Notice the Father didn't reveal that he was him. The Father did not reveal that Christ was Yahweh. The Father did not reveal that he was another Elohim. But he said the Father revealed what?
And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Now notice the peculiarity of the 19th verse. He said, and I will give unto thee, speaking of Peter, said Christ, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whosoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So he tells Peter, essentially, that you're the one with all the power. You are the one I'm giving. In other words, I had it, but I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whosoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, these keys supposed to have been given to Peter. The keys to heaven and hell. And look how Paul talked about Peter after this was done. According to the words of Paul, Peter was a hypocrite. But this is the reason the Catholic Church said Peter is the first pope. Let's read the Catholic Church teaching that Peter is the first pope, and they have a succession of popes after him. Even though that's a total contradictory of what the Christ said, he didn't say Peter and others. He said, Peter, upon thee I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, and I'm going to give you, Peter, the keys to heaven and hell. And Peter, whosoever thou shalt bind, shall be bound in heaven. And whosoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Peter. This is why the Catholic Church reverenced Peter and made him a pope. And that's why the people that think that there's now a succession of Peters or a concession of popes, that's when they kiss the pope's ring and kiss his hand and bow to him. And that's the reason they are now confessing to the priest, because they think the priest and the popes are in the stead of Peter. And they think now that to get into heaven, you have to go through these men. That's where they get this false ideology at. They got it right here in your book. And according to your book, these are the words of the Christ that he's supposed to have said. But look what Paul, who the Gentile Christians reverend, look what he said about Peter. After that, Paul called Peter the hypocrite. Let's go to the book of Galatians. I know some of you slick ministers hate me to go there. You were saying to yourself, oh, I hope he don't know that. I don't know. I hope he's not familiar with that. He's not going to use that one on us today, is he? And the truth of the matter is, yes, I am. I'm going to use this and show you the words of the so-called Christ making Peter the man that everybody got to go to in order to be saved. I'm going to start at Galatians, the second chapter, and we're going to start reading at the seventh verse. And this is when Paul, supposed to accept his ministry to go to the heathens and Gentiles, and he recognized that Peter and James and the other disciples were sent only to the house of Israel. And here's how the conversation goes.
But countrywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter.
In other words, he admits that there's two different gospels. A gospel of the uncircumcision that was, Paul said, was committed unto him. And there was the gospel of a circumcision that was committed unto Peter. In other words, Peter's supposed to be the head apostle over the church at the circumcision. But according to J.C., Peter was the apostle over everybody. Because he is the only one that got the keys to heaven and hell. So he will not only be over the circumcision, but over the uncircumcision too. But I just wanted you to see this contradiction as we read further down here and see what this is saying.
For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen.
In other words, that Paul and Barnabas, going to James and Cephas and John, were the pillars of the church. They sent Paul and Barnabas and gave them the right hand of fellowship and told them to go to the heathens and that they would go to the circumcision. Only that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also for to do. But notice what happens here.
But when Peter was come to Antioch,
But when Peter had came to Antioch,
I withstood him to the face.
I withstood him to his face.
Because he was to be blamed.
In other words, he's to be blamed. He did something wrong. Here Paul calls the man that Christ gave the keys to heaven and hell. He confronts him and said he did something wrong. And he confronts this man that Christ made the judge of the world. And what did he say to this man?
For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles.
In other words, before he seen that John and James and Cephas and others that came from James, well, James was really the top dog at that time. And the underlying statements throughout the scriptures in the New Testament let you know that even though Peter's supposed to be the main dog, it was really James. And it said when they seen certain brethren coming down from James, that Peter, he was eating with the Gentiles. Before the certain came down from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. And he ate what the Gentiles was eating. But when they were come together, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. In other words, he was afraid. He was scared that the people that came from James would do something to him when they see that he's eating with the Gentiles and eating what the Gentiles were eating. And he got scared. He was afraid. The man that Christ made the judge of the earth and told him anybody you want to come in can come in, and anybody you want to keep out, you can keep out. And here he withdrew himself from people he was keeping company with when he seen James. Doesn't this appear strange to you? Yes, it does. It is, because it's counterfeit. But let's keep reading.
And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation.
In other words, he was just assimilating with them and doing what they were doing. And he was carried away with this, and he'd seen these people come down.
But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel.
In other words, he called Peter the hypocrite, said he's unrighteous, said he was walking not right. He said, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew live after the manner of the Gentiles, eating catfish and lobsters and pigs and bats and rats and eating what they eat, and not do as the Jews are supposed to do, why compellest thou that the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? In other words, if you're going to be a hypocrite and live and eat like the Gentiles and do what they do, then why would you come back and command the Gentiles to live as the Jews live? In other words, here Paul is calling Peter the biggest hypocrite on earth. And here, this is the man that Christ has given the keys to heaven and hell. Now, did Christ lie? Was he drunk? Did he know what he was doing? Is that an error? Because the Christians teach that this is supposed to be the truth, as is the whole New Testament. Well, this is the truth. Then the man that Christ left to judge you all is a lying hypocrite. And he's the one that, according to Christianity, supposed to judge the world. Now Yahweh is laughing in this heaven because his servants have discovered this hypocrisy and is now revealing it to the world. Because now he's confounding all of you all that go by this foolishness as what you are, a bunch of people that's been tricked, deceived, and hoodwinked. Yah is one, and there's none else. Well, before we go any further into this, let's talk to some more brothers on our line. Let's go to my beautiful brother, Michael Riley. Going right to our brother Michael Riley on line two.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
You notice lately that we understand that the devil is the arch deceiver.
Oh, yes, he is.
And he takes everything that is righteous of the law and turns it around to make it sound like it is righteous. What's wrong is right, and what's right is wrong.
Yes.
So we understand one of the big things nowadays is homosexuality.
Oh, yes.
He's pushing that to the point where if you see anything against homosexuality, you're homophobic or something's crazy about you.
Yes, people in this society will actually ostracize you if you don't wholesale embrace homosexual. You're supposed to be the freak.
That's
something
right.
Wrong with you if you don't uphold and this foolishness. And the Creator hates it. He called it abomination. And I'm glad that you and I have seen likewise, and the preachers are afraid to teach the truth on this because they don't want to lose any of their membership.
Because
so they're not going to tell us what you're telling us today.
And of course, we know in these churches that most of the people in the churches, a lot of them are homophobic, are homosexuals. And so we have nowadays believe that it's all right to sit around and worship your lower desires. To lay up men laying up with men and women laying up with women.
Yes, you're right.
It's justified because they use the word homophobic. Also, we understand one of the things that happened today, you call a man who runs through the ice and snow to try to buy a lottery ticket hoping that they will win. Is that worshiping the wrong God?
I'm telling you.
Spending millions and millions of dollars hoping that they will win. And they're not caring about anything else. But if I win, I've got my God, and I can do whatever filthy, disgusting thing I want to do. That is their God.
Mm.
You know, also we understand that we hear people talk about, you know, a brother beating up brother, hey, player. Now, that is the most disgusting thing you can tell another brother. You're a player.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things, you know, playing what? Your own black women?
Mm-hmm.
Disgracing your own, you know, your own seed?
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that we are people don't even look at.
Mm-hmm.
Because we hear the filth that goes on, and that's what we worship, the filth of this society.
Mm-hmm.
Our lower desires. Every filthy, disgusting thing. It's wrong to have dope, but it's all right to nurse on a whiskey bottle or a beer bottle. That's okay, because it's with the law.
Oh, boy.
But it's wrong to smoke a joint.
Yes.
You know, what's the difference? You still are acting a fool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're still putting the pollution of the earth inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some of the Rastas say, every good herb is good for you. They spoke some hemlock.
Since everything is good from Mother Earth, smoke some poison ivory.
That's right. Smoke some of this other stuff.
Yeah.
If
you think everything that the Most High made is good for your consumption, if he wanted our Rastafarian brother to be smoking, he'd have made a chimney on top of the head.
That's right. So these are the type of things that we understand.
They're talking about being natural. That's being natural. The Almighty wanted you to smoke, you'd have a chimney on top of your head for it to go out. But if it's all it's doing is going in your lungs, that's not natural. It's not natural when you see the lungs of a smoker.
And why we got to escape from reality anyway? If our reality is that dead, then do something about the changes.
That's true. Absolutely.
And also one of the other things that we as people always worship, call these jake leg politicians. We looking for them for our salvation when they are the most crooked, corrupt, lying people on the planet Earth. They're worse than the Kennedy preachers. But we sit around waiting for our salvation from Republicans, Democrats, charters. They steal the whole big same thing. Since we've been in this slave captured country of America, we're still in the same condition we are.
Mm-hmm.
And then these politicians talk about changing the Constitution to change this from 3/5 of a human being. We still consider that, okay, be Republican or Democrat. But we don't think about that, but we worship them.
All right.
We worship these crooked politicians, lying, cheating.
And that's what they're going to do.
Homosexual politicians.
Absolutely right. All right, my brother.
Okay, so like
thank
this,
you.
Okay, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Right now, we're going right to Cincinnati, and I might add, if anybody want to join us, and I want to hear some of my brothers in Baltimore and in Atlanta tonight. Call us up. I want to hear from you. I know you're listening, but we want to hear from you. Brothers in around Baltimore and in Atlanta. But right now, I want to go right to Cincinnati to Brother Yothan. Brother Yothan.
Shalom.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Excellent.
Oh, all praises, brother. I'm not allowed to, at this moment, man, to be enjoying your nice show, but I definitely knew that you'll be on tonight. All praises to Yah.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
All praises, though, and I know you have a very interesting subject on tonight.
Oh, yes, most interesting. The most interesting subject we've talked about, the oneness of the Creator. Mm-hmm.
All right. And, definitely, at this time, I'd like to take time out to give our thanks and praises to the Almighty for the living today and for yourself as well.
All right.
All praises.
All praises.
And I'll see you probably tomorrow, sir.
Thank you, brother. Shalom,
right.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Right now, we're going right to Cincinnati to Brother Levi. And if anybody else want to join us, 749-1230. And I want some of our brothers out of town that's listening to call in. I want to see them on the phone. But right now, we're going right to Brother Levi.
Thank you.
Brother Levi.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
How you feeling, brother?
Excellent. How are you?
Oh, I feel great. You're coming out loud and clear. I wanted to join in the conversation you were talking about, just Peter and Paul and a lot of the confusion and whatnot, and I did want to bring out maybe something with that. Just kind of wanted to join in on that.
Well, I'd love you to do so. Isn't that really amazing, though, that
yes.
You actually read with your eyes what Christ gave Peter the
yes.
keys to heaven and hell and told Peter, just another man?
Yes.
Notice he took him, they gave Peter the
yes.
authority that the Creator said was his alone.
Yes.
The Creator said that he's the judge of the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
The Creator says that every knee shall bow to him.
Yes.
And every tongue shall confess to him.
Yes.
I guess the Most High didn't know that Peter had already taken the key from him. And now it's he that has the people bowed unto him.
Yes.
And he that have the people kissing his ring and the other folks' name that came in his succession.
Yes.
I guess the Most High didn't know nothing about that. Do the people of the New Testament realize what this book and this religion is doing to our people?
And
how it has them living in a state of idolatry, worshiping men, and looking for their salvation to come from men that their own companions call a bunch of lying hypocrites in the Bible?
Mm-hmm. It's funny you mentioned that. What I wanted to show was something about Peter. And you're absolutely right. He obviously took that power, and he took advantage of it. Because what I wanted to share was in Acts the 4th, well, the 5th chapter, but, you know, to get a good understanding on it, one might want to read the 4th chapter, going into the 5th chapter, and there was a story about Ananias and his wife. And what Peter did to this family is amazing. And I'll just start at the first verse. Well, I'll read the 4th chapter, the 3rd. I'm going to make this
well,
very
well, before you read that, are
yes,
you
sir.
Sure this is what Peter did or is this what the Holy Ghost was
well, doing? Well, Peter claimed that the Holy Ghost did with a story.
All right. I want to get that straight.
Well,
we
sure,
don't want
sure.
nobody to call and say you don't know what you're talking about. You're making
yes.
a mistake. We got to be very specific and exact when we speak these words.
Yes, sir. But it was by the hand of Peter that these events right here happen. And I'll just start at the first verse of the chapter 5 and expedite this. But it says, a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and this is what they did. And you can find in the 4th chapter where they sold all their possessions and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they kept back part of the price, according to the 2nd verse. His wife, also being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thy own?
And my best friend of 45 years is listening.
Okay.
And this is the most explosive lesson that I've ever heard on this program.
Well, thank
and
you.
I think that this is the time that people that have questions to call someone and have them listen. And that's what I've been doing. I just think that this is the most important lesson that I've heard on your show since I've been listening from the beginning.
Yes.
And we give all praises to the Most High and keep up the good work.
Thank you. And this very well, and I agree, this is probably the most important lesson I ever taught.
Yes, sir. You
and
have a good evening.
Thank you, and do likewise.
Yes.
Shalom. Right now, we are going to go. Before I come in again, I have another brother on the air that I've been waiting for a while, and I want to go directly to him. But until I get to him, again, 749-1230. Call right in. And don't be afraid to talk and express yourself. But right now, we're going right to Cincinnati to Brother Aaron. Brother Aaron.
Shalom, all right?
Shalom.
Yes. Beautiful, beautiful lesson.
Thank you.
And I want to say that it is beautiful to understand the oneness of the Most High. That's a beautiful concept because that's the greatest concept that there is
mm-hmm.
in understanding the oneness of Yah.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads you into all other understandings.
Yes, it does.
And
yes,
it's beautiful as well that the one that so many people have set up even teaches the oneness of Yah
mm-hmm.
and expresses that many places throughout what they call the New Testament. But I was looking at that Matthew's, and
Matthew's?
It was in,
okay.
Yes, sir, the 16th chapter, that same 16th chapter.
Oh, okay, where we're talking about, okay.
Yes, sir. because it was interesting that it was brought out that you read down through the 18th verse and the 19th verse,
mm-hmm.
where he's talking about Peter, who he changed his name to Kepha, and how he gives him all this power to the kingdom, you know, to the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, if you go into that chapter in the 23rd verse, when Peter, and I'll read that if I may.
Oh, you may.
22 and 23 says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Rabbi, this should not be done unto thee. But he turned unto Peter and said, get thee behind me, adversary. Well, we know in the Hebrew, adversary, the word for adversary is Satan.
Yeah, that's what it said. Get thee behind me, Satan.
Satan, yes, sir.
The man he gave the judge of earth, he came right back and called him Satan.
And called him Satan.
So it's Satan that's judging the earth.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
and he being the Almighty, I would think he would know when Satan was in his presence.
Oh, my God.
And what Satan actually looked like,
brother,
and what he was actually about.
Oh, my gracious.
So in actual words, it seems as if this man is saying that he was oblivious that he gave Satan the power to the kingdom of heaven.
Boy, I'm telling you, you are fantastic. You dropped a bomb here tonight. Do you know the bomb that you're dropping on our listeners tonight? I didn't want to go down there, boy. I just wanted him to think of keep Peter as being a judge. Now you come right on out and bring it out to this Peter. Is the one that Christ said is Satan.
Yes, sir.
In other words, he actually is giving Satan,
yes, sir,
the power to let who he wants to be in heaven, whosoever he wants to keep out of heaven,
yes,
he's
sir.
Letting Satan have that power.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My gracious.
And I guess that's why the world is in the chaos that it's in.
Good gracious almighty.
Because if this man had the power of heaven, and he had the power to exercise himself throughout the earth, we in serious trouble.
Did you hear that, Mom?
We in serious trouble.
My mother, did you hear that? Oh, my gracious.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, brother.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to lend that,
I like that
bit of scripture to you. And, Kay, it's a wonderful program. Like I said, it's brilliant because this is one of the greatest subjects one can embark upon. And the Almighty has truly blessed you and love the program. And with that, say shalom and have a good night.
Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Yes.
And right now we're going right to Maryland to our beautiful brother that everybody been asking about all last week. It's Brother Yehoshua from Maryland. Brother Yehoshua, shalom.
Shalom, brother. Enjoying the program as usual.
Thank you.
I wanted to add a little twist to this thing.
Yes, sir.
I said, a lot of, especially black Christians nowadays, believe that they're from the line of Cush, and we know that's wrong.
Yes, and, that's true.
If Paul, who they use all their doctrine with, had a gospel unto the Gentiles, and Peter was supposedly to Israel, what in the world is a black person in the first place going after a doctrine that they weren't even included in the first place, a Gentile?
Well, the pitiful thing about it, I can answer that. The heathen and brainwashed this fellow to believe that he's a Gentile.
Exactly.
In other words, you got black people that are looking in your face and say, I'm a Gentile. That's what happened.
Here.
And, of course, we know it's not no truth to it. We know it's totally
exactly.
insanity. It's like just walking and looking in you and I and saying, I'm a rattlesnake and smiling
yeah.
about it. That he don't have a clue of what he's saying, does he?
And you know something else, too, is that the mere fact that if you look at the state of how things are going in the country today, and you look at how things are as far as the state of the promiscuity, the perversions that exist, look at the founders of these books.
Mm-hmm.
Look what type of worship they were endowed in for prior to the creation of Christianity. They were the phallus worshippers. They were naturists.
Mm-hmm.
Had all kinds of perversion. You see the same thing existing today.
Yes. Yes, you do. The same thing. You're absolutely right, brother.
And inside and outside of the church.
That's true.
And we can't put things together because, like you said, we're so blind, deaf, and dumb that we can't see things as they really are. And that's really unfortunate. But a lot of people are going to be left behind.
Yes.
And guess what? The work has to still continue.
Yes, as the Creator said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't want knowledge. The ministers tell our people, don't listen to us. Don't pay. Isn't that something? They're so afraid, they say, don't listen to them.
They're so afraid of losing their status.
Yes.
Because you know what? The church is the only place that I know of that somebody that can be a literal bum can come right off the street and all of a sudden running and teaching hundreds of people. Because it's not about integrity. It's about influence.
Yes.
It's about the ability to persuade the masses. That's how I look at something else. The New Testament teaches that to be a friend, and we know what Yah says, to be a friend of this world is to be an enemy of their deity. But yet, we say that this government is evil and is run by Satan. We're talking about the church and the black man. But yet, we can have meetings in the White House with this president because he's creating these programs that are keeping the people ignorant. These people have been bought with the price. Even some of these Muslim leaders, they were bought with the price. Because if, in fact, they were a true threat, you think this government wants them to hang around? If Christianity was such a threat, you think this white man and this government would love the masses of people coming in churches and keep building churches? And look, the government says, we'll give you, preacher, all kinds of tax breaks and all kinds of perks. Just keep the people ignorant.
Yes, yes.
Keep the people indoctrinated with this stuff that's going to keep our ability to control things in place. We live in Maryland, and right in Maryland is one of the second largest concentration of Ashkenazis, of Khazar Jews, so-called Jews, in the world, outside of New York.
Yeah, I know New York number one, number two, right.
And right there we have a street called Northern Parkway.
All right.
And it divides the east. West Baltimore from north and south.
Okay.
On one side of it is where these so-called Jews live. They can do whatever they want to do.
Okay.
They have their own policing system. On the other side is a church on every corner where we live. It's poverty, degradation, crime, filth. It's not one bank in a five-mile square radius where the black folks live.
Where the blacks are living.
But they have liquor stores, Chinese food stores, all kinds of bail bondsmen and check cashing place. Nope.
I'm losing you. My caller.
Hello?
Yes, I hear you. I thought I lost you for a minute. But keep talking. I lost you.
They don't even have banks. They don't have credit unions, but they have check cashing place, bail bondsmen, and a church on every corner. And I ask this question to the listening audiences. I say, listen. If you have a Baptist on one corner, AME on one corner, Pentecostal and Holiness on the other two corners, how can all of them be right when they claim to be right, having the same Savior, same God, but do everything totally different? Is it possible for all of them teaching Peter and Paul to be right? They say, most people say, no, they all can't be right. I said, but is it possible that they all could be wrong? All you have to do is look at the result.
Yes. Look at the fruit. It's bad.
Even that JC said, look at their fruit. See what kind of fruit they're supposed to be bearing. You know, it's trees by its fruit.
You're right. Tell a tree by the fruit it bears. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit.
Exactly.
And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit.
Well, any pastor or preacher, minister, evangelist that's teaching his doctrine, they're no better than a crack dealer.
Yes.
They're giving the people false hope of escape and making the people believe in this trance that things have changed.
Next week I think I'm going to teach on why the ministers are lying to the people. I think I'll let them know why these black ministers are forced to lie to the people. I think I'm going to deal with that next week.
Yeah, because they've been sold out.
But listen, right now time is running out, and I want to tell all our listening audience, if they want to join us for services, 1664 California Avenue in Bond Hill. Or either they can call me personally at 226-7110. And until next week, Yah loves you very much, and so do I. And also, on our internet, if you want to listen to our internet program and see our brass broadcasts, www House of Israel. That's spelled YISRAEL.org. www.houseofisrael.org. Any day, any night, and we broadcast live every Saturday. All right? Till next week, and I love you very much, and so do I. Shalom.
He heard my cry and brought me out.